Whatsoever years may bring, hold to God's unchanging hand. I don't think many of you thought that we would be this far along the road. But we still trust them all the more. Blessings.
Thank you.
If he's another 100 years, we still going to hold to him? Makes no difference. And I'd just like to welcome you all in here in the name of the Lord. And I was just thinking, you know, we could be many places. It's a lovely day, no doubt. But to have the opportunity to be in his presence would be worth 1,000 of these days. And we are believers. That's why we're here. And we love the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in prayer this morning and welcome him here. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to come before you, Lord, and give you praise and glory, Lord, for your goodness, Lord, unto us, Lord, your mercy, your grace, Lord. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you would bless us with your presence, Lord, knowing, Lord, that when we come into your presence, Lord, everything falls into perspective, Lord, and the burdens roll away, Lord, and you soften the heart, Lord, that the world tries to bind down, Lord, and the devil just chases us around night and day, Lord, trying to upset us, Lord. But when we come into your presence, Lord, it all rolls off, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, the blessing, Lord, that you would be here with us, Lord, and Lord, anoint each one, Lord, to hear, Lord, to sing, to give you praise and glory this morning, Lord. And those that aren't here, Lord, those that are away, Lord, we just pray a special blessing for them, Lord, where they are, Lord, and those that might be listening in. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we just stand this morning and sing, What a Day That Will Be? That thought is sort of over here somewhere, but when it comes into reality and you think back, it will just fade. Everything will fade when he takes you by the hand. Let's sing our number 46, Give Me All in My Lamp.
Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me all in my lamp,
Just a greeting to the Hughes family who is listening in on the internet. Lord bless you in your time of listening, which is now, I take it. So it's a shame you couldn't be here. So part of the choir is missing, so the Lord bless you anyway. Let's sing just a little longer.
Just a little longer, and the trump of God shall sound.
Just a little bit longer. I mean, I don't know if anybody here catches TV now and then. Some of the stuff you don't even want to look at to see the way they're going, you know. And it just shows you how far along we've come. And really draws a burden on you, you know, because you feel for them because they're so lost. And what they're grabbing at is this absolute corruption. But lovely people, a lot of them, you know. Let's just sing number 283, Living Below.
Living below in this so sinful world, hardly a comfort can
culture was that. And he's the one that pulled us out of this pig pen and set us in our right minds that we might serve him and love him. Let's sing number 382, The Voice of My Beloved. And then I ask if Sister Dinah and Sister Murray would bring the item.
The voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly comes, sweeping on the mountains over here. Oh, I love to hear his voice. I love to hear him say,
was there any other items this morning as well that I'm not aware of? No? That's all right. Just a reminder, there will be a 7 o'clock prayer meeting, and also there will be this afternoon meeting after luncheon as well. So we'll just keep those before the Lord.
Coronation, and this could be the dawning of
This could be the dawning of that day. Thank you, sisters. We just have some prayer requests here. Not any new ones, but we'll just remember Lee Cross's request for prayer that he would keep his job, and we'll just remember Brother Ross Underwood, who has suffered a stroke. He's trusting in God for a total recovery. And we'll just remember the sister. My daughter has a terrible neck pain from arthritis. She needs the prayer for relief from this disease. Please pray that she can receive a good husband. And we'll just lift up Israel before the Lord and thank the Lord for all the answered prayers. Is there any needs here? Okay, there's a testimony in itself. The Lord has answered prayer. Mr. Leah. Okay. So that's your best friend's grandmother. You can just certainly do that. Any unspoken? Let's just bow our heads. Lovely Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come before you again, Lord, and Lord, knowing there's nothing in your word that says that we can't have our healing, Lord, and Lord, there's no doubt about that, what your word says, Lord. If you've provided our salvation, Lord, you've also provided our healing, Lord, and we just thank you for that, Lord. And these people can ask on their own accord, Lord, but we can just stand with them in prayer, Lord, and ask that you would honor that, Lord, and just give them, anoint their faith, Lord, to believe, Lord, what you have already done for them, Lord. And we just remember Sister Leah's friend's grandmother, Lord, who's shutting down organs, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray for her, Lord, that you would touch her body, Lord, and touch her soul, Lord Jesus, that she might look unto you, Lord, and as your word says, look and live, Lord. And we just remember her this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for Brother Ross Underwood, Lord, who you've already touched and healed already, Lord. And we just thank you for the prayers, Lord, that you have answered, Lord, and that you're such a good God unto us, Lord, and so merciful and grateful and graceful unto us, Lord. And Lord, I just remember all the unspoken prayer requests this morning, Lord. You know, the one that are on each heart, Lord, we just bring them before you, Lord, as each one lifts them up, Lord, and knowing that you can do all things. We just thank you and give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just sing one more and then I'll ask Brother Howard to come. Number 53, we are able to go up and take the country.
We are able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there when you hear them, God will surely give the victory. I told you.
just getting singing, get going, and we stop. You know what we need? We just need that spirit of worship to come on us. And then we'll really worship the Lord in the spirit and in truth. We've got a few away today, of course. Then Barbara away. Tauranga. The Hughes family are away today, but they're actually listening, and I hope it's all going well. Brother Bill, you can hear us okay. We've had a few issues with the plugs, but the Lord's got it all in hand, and we're just trusting Him. Who loves the Lord? That's good. Praise be to God. So we just pray the Lord will be with us as we come around His precious word. You know, the expectation of His coming is the thing that keeps us going. You know, He may come tomorrow. Are you ready to go tomorrow? Here comes Sister Tina. That's good. She had a puncher this morning. Brother Bill, Paul's gone to pick her up. Yeah. So we just pray the Lord will bless us. I wonder if we can stand for the reading of God's word from Mark 16, verse 9. Mark 16, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. Now I want you to listen to this carefully. Don't just read over it. Listen to what's being said. This is unreal. It's unreal. And she went and told them that had been with Him. Not the scribes and Pharisees. The believers. She went and told them that had been with Him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, rejoiced with exceeding joy. Is that what your Bible says? They believed not. And brother and sister, that is a tragedy that the church of the living God can get into that condition. And I want to ask us the question, are we in that condition? Think about it. Imagine if Sister Leah here came into the service and said she saw one of the risen saints. Would we believe it? We say, oh no, she's just getting somebody mixed up, or she's maybe a bit mixed up. We are expecting a resurrection very shortly. Who's expecting that? But this is what it says, and I love the Word of God, just says what happened. And after that He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. We know that story. Beautiful story. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Two witnesses, they still don't believe. Afterward He appeared unto the eleven as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It's all about faith and doubt. It's all about believing and not believing. In my name they shall cast out devils. There's plenty of them in this generation. They shall speak with new tongues. That's a supernatural utterance through a believer. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. May God bless His precious word to us. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the encouragement we get from it. We know it's the truth and you are here to confirm it. I pray that you'll bless each heart here and those that will be joining with us. May they also receive, and may they not just, Lord, look out the window and not concentrate, but they'll listen to the word of God. I commit it to you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd also like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. Thank you, Brother Paul. And that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. This is not done in the corner. This is for everybody to see. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. We know they're all fallen asleep now. But if they're asleep, that's okay. As long as they're not dead. I'd rather fall asleep than be dead. Who knows the difference? You know what the difference is? When you die, you're a believer. If you're dead, you didn't believe. So I want to be a believer. Who wants to be a believer? You should be one now, not want to be. We are believers. Hallelujah. So I just want to speak about this morning the believer's commission. Believer's commission. And this is a challenge to me as a believer. I pray it'll be a challenge to you. Have you ever heard the term? You might have heard the term I've heard all my life. Full gospel. Full gospel. Oh, they are full gospel believers. Or they attend a full gospel church. So what does the term mean, full gospel? It means they believe in the full commission of Mark 16. And we just read a while ago, brothers and sisters. Now, we come down to the question to be asked, who is a believer here today? We've got five here today. I pray it's a full house load this morning. By the time we leave, we are believers. You know what Jesus said? When he returns, would he find faith on the earth? He doubted it. Because it was a question. Well, there is going to be faith, Lord. And it's going to be in me. And you. Anyone else going to have faith? And it's given to us by God. The faith has been given to us by the Lord. And I just pray that we'll exercise that faith here this morning. So, if you're a believer, then it's for you. This believer's full commission. It's not just for the pastors, not for just the church, but for believers. And this is the believer's commission. You see, brother and sister, we don't say our church believes this. No, you believe it. I believe this. Not what your church believes. It's what you believe. What do you really believe? These are things we must ask ourselves. So Jesus knew the upper room experience. Praise God, I've had the privilege of being there. I've been to that upper room in Jerusalem. It was wonderful. Wonderful atmosphere there. To think that the church was inaugurated in that room. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There wasn't one person in that room that was not filled with the Holy Ghost. They all received the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, and pillars of fire are seen on each of them. Now, brother and sister, there's nothing less than you having that experience. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you'll actually see pillars of fire, but I tell you what causes the fire will be in you. The fire of the Holy Ghost will be in you. Without it, we're staying here. We can't go to be with the Lord without the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
And Jesus knew that this experience was so important for the church. The New Testament church would be marked by the power of God. They have a mark on it. And they which was, that which was planted in the beginning will be the same in the end. You know, brothers and sisters, it's just a law of God. I planted some grass seed at home, and you know, this in the front lawn, it's all sticking up. I said to June, there's almost tigers hiding in there. But down the back, it's very slow. So I went down there, laid my hands on it. No, I didn't actually lay my hands on it, but I prayed over it. I said, Lord, the giver of all life, may this grass grow in the name of Jesus Christ. Had to wait 1 week. Had to wait 2 weeks. But in the last 2 days, it's starting to come up. Because the seed went into the ground. And the seed that went into the ground was grass seed. That's how we know we put the right seed in. Because what's coming up is grass seed. And on the day of Pentecost, God planted into his church the life of God. The life that was in Jesus Christ was planted into all believers and will be in the end the same. We're not going to be any different from those on the day of Pentecost. We'll all have the same life that they had. Isn't that wonderful? Not going to church and learning all about this. It's more than learning and all those things are okay. I'm not saying anything against it. All I'm saying is the life has got to be in us, each one. It has to be in you. And I want more of it. I'm just not happy just going to church once a week. That's not good enough for me. I want to be living and fellowshipping and communing with God daily. And in the night, you know, love him in the morning, love him in the evening, love him in the noonday. You know, we sing that song. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Brother and sister, we need to pray more than we do. We say, oh, I had my prayer time of 5 minutes. That's not good enough. If you're in love with God, you want to pray more with him. Slip out of your bed onto the floor at 1 o'clock in the morning. If God lays it on your heart and just say, Lord, I just want to get closer to you. We have to do it. We've got to do it. We want to do it. Praise the Lord. So that was planted in the beginning, and I believe it'll be planted. It'll be manifested in the end time, because like that grass seed, what went in is going to come up. So the New Testament church had that seal. And this is what the seal is in Mark 16:19. We read, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, God working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. You see, brother and sister, I don't care what we say. What we're preaching must be backed up by signs following. Because that's what was planted. And if we have the same seed, it'll produce the same results. So this is the believer's commission to go out. The bride of Christ is not a word only. Any church can have that. All go to all open their Bibles. And they start reading, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or whatever. And they just read and they sit down and the pastor or the minister picks up his book and he reads out of a book. But brother and sister, we've got to have the signs following. You believe that, Diane? Who believes that? Say amen. We are the church of the living God. Now, we don't do it. God does it through us. We cannot do it, but we should be expecting it. Hallelujah. And so we see, what was Jesus' last word to the church? Let's read this in Luke 24:49. We know after his resurrection, he appeared unto the disciples and many believers. And we read in our first reading, he appeared to over 500 at one time after he had risen. And his last words as he was taken up into the clouds were this. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, that means wait there, until you be endued, that means clothed upon, with the power from on high. And that's the Holy Ghost. Who wants to be clothed upon with the Holy Spirit? Brother and sister, we've got to have this. You know, you're not going to save people. You're not going to be of any influence until you have that power on you. It's the power on the disciples and the church and the early church that changed lives. And there were 3,000 souls added to the church in one day. So let's believe for this. I always think about there were 500 plus, but they weren't all there in the upper room, because we know there's only about 120, the Bible says. But they would have got around. Jesus said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. But others were too busy. They had a big program on. They had their jobs that came first. Everything comes first. Their families came first. But those that were hungry for God went up and walked up. You got to walk up that track into the upper room. And I tell you, it was worth going for. Brother and sister, wasn't just going to a church meeting. It's not just going to a church meeting. You need the Holy Spirit to be in you. It means to be flowing out of us, rejoicing and praising God. Who wants that? We need that, brother and sister. We don't want to just go down, sit down, oh, this is what we do. We have the song service, we have prayer requests, and then we have somebody preach and go home. It's got to be living in us. There's got to be a hunger and a thirsting in our hearts for God to move upon us. I want that. You want that? Say amen.
Amen.
Absolutely, we want it. So do we as message believers preach and practice the full commission? Wherever this word will be going, listen carefully to this. Oh, we have plenty of preachers. Plenty of preachers everywhere. Not short of preachers. But Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Mark 16, 17, we read again. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen.
Who believes that? Say amen. Amen. Oh, brother and sister, we either believe this or we're just going along with it. We believe it. It's amazing, truly amazing, to see so many happy to preach the message of the hour. Oh, we're message preachers of the hour. That's good. But we see very little praying for the sick. See very little casting out devils. Speaking with new tongues. People being prayed for to receive the Holy Ghost. In fact, in what last day churches do you hear people speaking in tongues? Oh, we don't do that anymore. Who said? Who said? When God inaugurated that in the church. It's for every believer. Do you believe that? Brother and sister, we can have all the theories we want, all the preaching we want. We want the Holy Ghost to come down amongst us. I'm so glad we're in Singapore at the end of the service. Came forth a prophecy from a brother who had never prophesied before. I was so blessed, and I was real anointing on it. It wasn't the brother, it was God came over him. Very humble and very broken, but God spoke. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the Spirit of God. So may God be good to us. Or have we become like so many other churches, just preaching doctrine? It's remarkable to consider when Brother Branham preached the message of this day, it was practiced in its fullness according to Mark 16, right to the end of his ministry. But not with his followers.
They're not really followers because they're following what he did. They would be doing it too. And some people, oh, don't say that, brother. We are followers. But listen, if we're following the same word, we have the same results. Who believes these things? It's absolutely the truth. So as followers, hardly today, they hardly preach it, let alone practice it. I don't want to tell you a story I told you some time ago because it just makes me cry. I wept and cried for 3 days. This young lady who won the Holy Ghost. And a message, she went to a message camp and the Spirit of God did move. She went forward for prayer. She never got through to God. That's a terrible thing, you don't get through to God. I tell you what, you should get you on your knees. Get on your knees earlier at night. Instead of watching television, I hope people don't watch TV here, do they? Brother Branham said, kick it out of your home. And one wee thing worse, that's the internet. You've got to be very careful. There's demon powers moving through these devices to lure you in through the radio, whatever it may be, newspaper. It's all designed to lure you away from God, to take that sacredness out of you. Walk, call you down. Settle down. Don't get too religious. You've got things to do. I have one thing to do is wait on God because I believe he's coming very soon. And brother and sister, those that already are going, those that are not ready will be left behind. I don't want anyone to be left behind. So we see they don't even preach this anymore. They don't preach like Brother Branham preached it. No way. Neither do they practice it. And Paul said, faith without works is dead. You have all the faith you say you have and no works, it's all dead. Now, I am preaching to myself as much as to anybody else. I'm not picking on anybody. I wouldn't want to. God have mercy. I want us all to be there. I want us all to be there, brothers and sisters. What a terrible thing to be left behind. Oh, where's my wife? Where is she? Where's she gone? Where's my husband? Where is he gone? My children. My parents have gone. Don't ever find yourself in that shocking condition where there's no return. I must tell you a story about June. I've told it once before. But they say preachers talk about their family. But it was a wonderful experience, actually, for me. And for June too. We were up one morning and she was walking this way and past the passageway and I walked past it and went into the lounge room. And then she came back and she just expected to see me there. But what I did is I hid behind the piano. You know how we're just having a little game. She says, Howard, where are you? I kept quiet. Didn't say anything. Howard, where have you gone? Where are you? Because she knew I just had to be there. I didn't say anything. And then her voice changed. It went from, Howard, where are you? To, Howard! Where are you? And I knew she knew. I knew what she was thinking. The Lord had come and had taken me. And the urgency in her voice was very noticeable. And I pray that will be in our voices too. I pray we'll not be left behind. But brother and sister, I said to my wife afterwards, I was so glad she felt that way. You know why? Because she believes it. She believed it could happen just like that. The Bible said, two will be in bed, one will be taken, the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. It's going to happen. You as an individual, young and old, need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Jesus prophesied it'll be this way. So we see it's really important. Now, why isn't people preaching the full commission? Why aren't they speaking to others about it? When did you last talk to somebody about the nearness of the coming of the Lord? Just a question for you. When did you ever testify to somebody about their soul and their need to find the Saviour and to be born again in their terms of understanding? Now, the common cause of all this is unbelief. This is the cause people leave off preaching the full commission. They don't want to preach it. And it's not new because Jesus' own disciples suffered with the same thing. And they are plagued with this also. So we can take courage this morning in this, that the height of their unbelief, Jesus gave them a job to do. The height of the unbelief, the height of him telling them off, he told them off and upbraided them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Who? Disciples. Are we in the same position this morning? I want to ask the question. He commissioned them to go out and preach the gospel and pray for the sick. Cast out devils and pray for those to receive the Holy Ghost. You know, in Brother Branham's meeting, Message Believers, they had what he called, and they all called, a tarrying room. Tarrying room. Where people went to receive instruction for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's just read this here. With their heads bowed now, he's saying, the service is in the hand of Almighty God. To whoever wishes to be baptized, wishes to go into the prayer rooms to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not there, but I wonder how many in the churches around the world in the message say that. Then he says here, well, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every time the church ever received the Holy Ghost, it always came like it did the first time, under the same prescription, never has changed, never will change. And the doctor's prescription of how to receive the Holy Ghost is given to us by Dr. Simon Peter on the day of Pentecost. I'll give you a prescription, he says. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive it, for the prescription is to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. That's including us here in New Zealand. It's the eternal prescription, he says. So what has happened to the tarrying rooms? Or at least praying for those to get through to receiving the Holy Ghost. I never finished my story about this little girl. She came from the camp meeting. She never got through to God. So at the end of the service at their local church, no one was asked for anything. She just came forward and stood in front of the church. The pastor came up to her and said, sister, what do you want? She said, well, pastor, I was at the youth camp and I never really got through to God. God was blessing others, but I never got through. And I just pray that you'll pray for me, that I'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The pastor said, oh, sister dear, you don't need to worry about those things. We've got the word today. We've got the full word. You just go back to your seat and God will look after you. That man will answer on the day of judgment for that. That is not of God. That is not the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you now. He should have prayed for that lady because she had a need in her life to receive the Holy Ghost and said, he just wiped it away and said, I'll just go back to your seat. You're going to be right, dear. I tell you what. I really pray for that girl. I don't even know who she is. I was told the story in America. I don't know who she is or where she is. But I'm praying that God did give her the Holy Ghost. Who believes he would have? Amen. He's not worrying about the pastor, what he says. He's calling a person dealing with their lives that they will receive it. See, the reason you get the Holy Ghost is because God wants you to have it. And if you have a desire in your heart, that's God working on you. You're not just a church member. You're not just going to church now and again. You're actually desiring to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That presence of God will take you. Where's it going to take you? Nicole. The God in you. It's going to take you into the sky when the Lord comes. Isn't that wonderful? So that's why we need it. That's why we need it. We don't want to be left here. I want to go, leaving in a twinkling of an eye. Praise be to God. So you see, we need to be praying for people to receive the Holy Ghost. And people have got to be desiring it. And you don't say, well, Brother Howard's going to pray for me. I get this all the time overseas. Oh, Brother Howard, he'll pray for me. And I've seen many people receive the Holy Ghost. I have. I've prayed for thousands. I have. I've seen many people touched, but no one's come to Brother Howard. You've got to be praying at home, and you need to get on your knees and say, Lord, I want this experience above everything in this world. I'm not going to let anything distract me. I'm going to kick the world out of my life. I want to get rid of these distractions. I want to spend time with you. Who desires that?
Amen.
You'll get the Holy Ghost. But if we're just going up there casually and, oh, give it a go, see what happens this time. Don't even waste your time. Don't waste God's time. You be prepared. And the Lord spoke to us the other day. I sent this to some other brothers, and he just said to me through what I was reading that, well, I am in a time of preparation, and so are you. Just wait, it's coming. But we're in preparation. We've got to be ready when it happens. And God's preparing us, getting rid of these things that shouldn't be in our life. It's bringing a real distraction to your walk with God. People, well, I'm not getting through to God anymore. I just don't seem to have that same burden. Well, clear out the junk. I know what I'm saying, brother and sister. Clear out the junk. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Listen to His Word. I listen to Brother Branham every day. I'm not saying because just Brother Branham, it just happened to have a CD in my car. I'm going to work, I listen to it. When I'm going home from work, I listen to it. And to hear the Holy Spirit come down, the same Lord Jesus that's here this morning, who believes He's here this morning, and starts to reveal not just the person's needs, but all about them, their mother, who lives in another part of the country, and so, and just calls their names, and some of the names are very difficult names, but He spoke them out. Because God told him and showed him. And I realize that God's alive. The same God that moved in that ministry and other ministries too, but especially in that discernment ministry of the Son of Man. Brother and sister, we are living in the day of the Son of Man being revealed. We know He's coming, but He has revealed Himself. Who believes God has revealed Himself? We have seen it. We are without excuse. Are we like the disciples? This is, oh, we met the Lord. We saw Him. Oh, yeah. You saw Him. They disbelieved and offended God. Along came another one. Two brothers. We saw Him. He walked with us. They disbelieved. God upbraided them and corrected them for their unbelief. God help us. Are we in the same condition? How we need to really God to shake us right through to the roots. Wake us up. I want Him to wake me up. We've got to wake up, brother and sister, before it's too late. I just can't even begin to think the horror of being left behind. Oh, we went to church, we believed the message. And thousands will be left behind because it's all in their head, never in their heart, as it should have been. And so we see these things are very real to us. We are the prayer lines for healing. Hardly anybody comes for prayer. We do have a few here, but. And God answers prayer, which we thank God for. He will. He'll do anything we ask Him to do. He's more than able to do anything. Is there anything too hard for me?
No.
Where's our little sister? No, it's not too hard for him. He can do anything for you. Where are the gifts of the Holy Spirit being manifested? We can make all the excuses in the world and say why they're not here. All the excuses. Oh, we're living in another day. Oh, that God doesn't move like that anymore. He does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're the ones that are slack. We're not doing what he said to do. The commission was to go out and pray. The commission was to go out and preach. We're taught. We've taught it out of the people. Oh, well, don't worry about it. Maybe God will move one day. He's the same today. Who believes the same today? The Lord that was yesterday is the same today and he will be tomorrow. God's never changed. Wonderful Savior. I'm so glad he's the same. You ask a preacher, do you believe in receiving the Holy Ghost? You ask a message preacher, do you believe? Not all, of course. But you ask many of them, do you believe in receiving the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes. Definitely. But they seldom preach it. Or pray for those to receive it. I know it. I've been there. Seen it. So we need to carry out the believer's full commission. Are we brave enough to have a close look at our faithfulness to his word? Have we stopped at only being preaching? We're just a preaching church. We preach, the next church preaches, that church preaches. Everyone's preaching, all got sermons, everyone's sitting there listening. But no action. Oh, my Lord. He would upbraid us, I'm afraid, like he did the disciples. May God be good to us. When God's word clearly substantiates God confirming his word, the signs following. Brother Bram said, you're having a good time. Seeing souls saved, just keep moving on. Don't slack at all. And the preachers, don't wait till Oral Roberts comes or William Branham. Don't wait for them or somebody else, he says. Practice divine healing in your church. Now, brothers and sisters, we've been commissioned to pray for the sick. And you've been commissioned to call for the elders of the church if you're sick and pray over them and to anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. Do it. The why is no healing because no one's asking for prayer. They rush off to the doctor before they ask for prayer. Now, brother and sister, we must pray. You say, I don't have a lot of faith. He didn't say, just do what he says. God will back up his word. The Lord Jesus Christ is here to confirm his word, the signs following. Practice divine healing in your church, message churches. Practice divine healing in your church. Let's go forward. People are dying, he says. Let's get them to the man of God, which is Christ. Don't wait for some special event. Go now. You're God's servant just as much as anyone else's. You're called, you Methodists, you Baptists, you Presbyterians. If you've got a commission from God, the general orders are go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. If you've got a commission from God, you go. An ordination from God to do these things, amen. Who has? You say, oh, Jesus can do them. He said, you can do them. Because, oh, Jesus will do them. He said, you are to do it. We are his representatives, the church of the living God. We have got to pray. You don't need me. You could ask Brother Paul here to pray for people. Why not? Are you a believer, Brother Paul? You can pray for people. Any one of you, Brother Tim, we can pray for people. Go out and lay hands upon people at the right time, of course. Everything's in order. He says, you can do them. In my name, they shall, he says. They shall. Amen. You've got the cart before the horse, see. All right. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick. Is that right? They shall lay their hands on the sick. And they, he's got in commas, they shall recover. That's the commission. Let us take it and go, he says. We're too slack about these things today. We're too slack. We've let it slip. We're believers. Or where's the signs following? Not to say you have to have signs following to say you're a believer. You are a believer. But we've got to practice what he told us to do. He says, what we need today is a good old-fashioned St. Paul revival. That is the Bible, Holy Ghost, back in the church again. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Time for everything. We've got time for everything but the right thing. We've got time to do this, we've got time to do that, but we don't do what he's asked us to do. Now, brothers and sisters, these things are real. And I'm challenged about it here in Gisborne. I know we pray for people. We probably pray more than others. But listen, let's keep going. He says, let's keep going. We often have our eyes on the wrong thing. Many times we look for miracles instead of looking for God's promised word. Don't look for the miracles. Start saying, Lord, you said. Do what he says and God will bring it to pass. It's his responsibility to bring it to pass. It's our responsibility to do it. If God doesn't heal me right now, I don't have faith. That's not the way. Of course God does miracles. But what was promised to you and I? In Mark 16:18, we read it before. Read it again. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who believes that? Just go and do it. Somebody's sick, ask them, you're not well? Jude and I asked for a lady. We're down the road, and she's at a bus stop. She wasn't well. Jude said, are you well? You feeling okay? And she wasn't very well. So we laid hands on her. We asked the Lord to help her and to encourage and strengthen and heal her. That right? Remember that? Brother says, we've just got to do what he says. You don't need permission. Just do what God says to do. You've already been given permission from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pray for the sick. Ask God's healing. Pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. Pray for their salvation. We're stumbled by our own foolishness. We're stumbled by our own foolishness. God said they shall recover. However God fulfills his word, it's entirely up to him. How he does it is up to him. You know, we had a little prayer line. We had a little prayer line yesterday. You know what it was, Paul? It was the most darling little bird. He's sitting on our deck. And he was a little female fledgling, blackbird. His eyes like that. I realized he had a collision with our ranch lighter door or with our whatever he hit. But there he was sitting there. My heart went out to him. June gave him some water, but he wasn't going to drink. He was too stressed out. So I thought, I'm going to say something to him. So I went down to the little bird and said, hello, little fella. Do you know what? I love you. I didn't get too close to him because I didn't want to frighten him. I just want you to know that I love you and the Lord loves you. We both love you. And I'm going to pray that God's going to heal you and make you whole. So I said, Lord, I just pray for this dear little bird, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll just heal him and her or whatever he is. Just make it feel well and that he can go on living because he's just a little fella. And I prayed that. And I said, now, don't you worry about this. I was talking to him, nobody was watching. But I said, don't you worry about this, but you're going to be all right because we've prayed for you. and you're going to be well in the name of the Lord. And I walked off. When I got back, my wife said, later on, she said, he's gone. I said, of course he's gone. The Lord healed him. So he got turned back on his radar and he was able to fly. Poor little fella, he was really knocked around. So pray for the little creatures. If you see a bird hurt, pray for him. Who believes these things? My brother ran with a possum, a little possum, had all those babies full of maggots. They came in the prayer line on his porch, lining up for prayer. He said, oh, well, should I shoot it? He had all these carnal thoughts going through his head. Then he felt really sorry for himself. He felt sorry that he had felt that way. And he said, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus, you'll bless this mother possum. It's faithfully looking after little babies. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know what happened? That possum who was exhausted, worn out, got up, collected the little babies, and walked off. Walked down the back of his yard, turned around, and he said, it was like she was saying, thank you. We've got to pray. Start praying for everything. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we just start doing it. I know you believe these things, Diane, don't you? You pray for little birds and things. We need to start praying. And encourage your faith. And great, best of all, when you start praying for people, that God will bless them and heal them. You do the same God healed a bird can heal a person. They shall recover, he says. The faith that saved us is the same faith that heals us. The same time at Calvary when your sins were dealt with the same time your sicknesses were dealt with. Who believes that's amen? Who believes it's amen? Amen. It's, we give him praise and thanks for what he's done for us. It causes us to receive the Holy Ghost, to speak in tongues, to cast out devils. The same promise is for you today. I like Brother Branham's attitude. I love this attitude. He says, it's real or it's not real. I want to read what he says here. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. What's the matter is, we Christians get too weak when it comes to the showdown. We say we believe it, but at the showdown, we're weak. He said, if it's real, it's real. If it's not, it's not. You believe it's real?
Amen.
Well, let's just start doing it. If you haven't been doing it before, start doing it today. And if I didn't believe him with all my heart, and I know it was real, I would not be here tonight. But I believe it. And not only that, I know it's real. See? I've seen it over thousands of places. God is real this morning. Who believes he's real this morning? Whatever you have need for. You know, I'm just starting to pray more and more. I said to my wife, you know, feeling okay? Want me to pray for you tonight before you go to sleep? Yeah. You pray for her, and God really helps her. Just start praying. Don't just do what he says to do. Lay hands on the sick. Or whatever it is. He says, now the Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Is that right? Yes? Now that's the last word that Jesus gave his church. If they lay their hands on the sick, what will happen? He says, they shall recover. End of it. Thus saith the Lord. Is what God said. Now, if the symptoms should arise, symptoms, we call them lying symptoms. If symptoms should arise, what would you say? Brother Ben saying, it is written. Is that right? It is written. Are you ready with your faith to say, I am now ready to commit myself to God in this matter? Do it. Don't say, oh, I don't feel the best. Just speak it out. Speak the word.
If you do, raise your hand. You're now committing yourself to him to go through the order, just like water baptism, just like in any other order of the church, the Lord's Supper. This is a sacred order to the church that these signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now, that wasn't me that said that, he said. That was Jesus Christ who said that. Who said it? Jesus Christ said this. Nothing to do with William Branham. Nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with any other preacher. Jesus Christ said this. Now, the first thing you have to do is surrender yourself entirely to Christ and surrender your mind to his word. Lord, I won't act upon my own feelings. Oh, I don't feel this or I feel that. Don't do that. Just do what he said. Who's catching this? Just do what God said to do. God will only act upon your word. Wow. He'll only act upon your word. I will only act upon your word, he says. I'll have no control of my own thoughts concerning it. I will act upon your word. Now get that straight. Now you're not to go down and say, well, I feel I've lost my healing. If you do, brother, it'll be worse than ever for you to make that comment. When you confess that, you're bringing that thing back on you. Sister wrote to me the other day, where's the quotes that we must confess with our mouth? You're to stand right here now. Remember, just like coming into the church, you're supposed to make this committal and say, Lord God of heaven, I'll stand by your word, so help me till the last drop of blood's left my body or my breath. See? Now, our faith will be tested. Our faith will be tested. God likes to test our faith in his word. Now, the Bible says this in 1 Peter 1:6 as we draw to a close on this. Wherein ye greatly rejoice that now for a season, there it is on the screen, you're looking at it. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye in heaviness through manifold temptations. Who's tempted? We're tempted every day. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Paul the apostle had to battle, but his faith held him with great joy. Remember, we have an enemy trying to discourage us, but he will never win. Like the brother said, he got the Bible, the precious Bible. He wanted to know how this is going to be. And he looked back at the back of the Bible. He said, oh, praise the Lord, we win. We won the battle because he went to the book. And Christ went before us and he got the victory for us. In 2 Corinthians 12:7 we read, and lest I should be exalted above measure through abundance of revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Isn't that beautiful? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions,
in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's God's way. That's it. So when you go through a trial, just remember God's, what is he doing? He's strengthening you. What a revelation Paul had. He said, I fought a good fight. We know from the word of God, we are already healed. You're already healed. You're already redeemed. All you have to do is receive it. The last thing we have to do is openly confess our healing. And I was saying to the sister this week, Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, the high priest of our confession. He's the high priest of our confession. God is expecting a confession from you. Then he can help you. Confess with the mouth and believe from the heart. We said Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, open your mouth, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, you need to, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, for the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation and healing. Confessing with the mouth. Now we come to how do we speak with new tongues. Has anybody here ever spoken in tongues? Raise your hand. Well, you've got something to look forward to, haven't you? Yeah, you have. If you have placed every sin under the blood of Jesus Christ, every sin, you confessed it. If you have separated yourself from the things of the world, if you've done that, come before him with a clean heart, nothing against anybody. There's nothing to stop you being filled with the Spirit. You don't speak in tongues. The Holy Ghost does that through you. You do not do it with your head. It's done, bypasses the head, comes straight from the heart. There's no mental thought involved. It's all of God. Just yield yourself to him in love for what he has done for you. For there's no fear in God. There's no fear in God. He takes over, and it's a glorious experience. All the gifts of God are operated by God, not men. Every gift is already sitting there in this church. Every gift in this church is here now. Who believes that?
Amen.
Absolutely. Now, a gift is like a light bulb. There's a light bulb. That light bulb is able to shine. But you know, brothers and sisters, there's one requirement. It needs the power, the current going through it. Then it shines. So the gifts are here. And each person, God's given us gifts. But it needs the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come on. Then the gift shows. You see that? Isn't that wonderful? So let's believe. Get serious with God. Get this junk out of your life. You've been clogged up with all the world and the things of the world. Like we had in Singapore, the message, one of the things that came out in the message in Singapore, the last meeting, it came out, hearken, my brethren. There are people here who are living in the world, who are living for the world. And I say unto you again, there are people here living for the world. Tell you what, that had effect on people, I tell you. People came weeping, families crying out to God to receive the Holy Ghost. God means business. You will never get the Holy Ghost if you're flirting with the world and the things of the world. Never. God won't have anything to do with it. So may God rip that stuff out of us. Who wants to have it ripped out of you? Oh God, take that out of us. That we may be filled with thy Spirit, Lord. Wonderful Savior. We need to enter into his courts. We can't just... If we all can just yield ourselves to God. Start giving him praise that's due unto his name. You express your love to him. That's what we need to do. That's what brings every gift into operation, is being in his presence. In Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Now, it doesn't say to get into his presence with a prayer list. It didn't say that. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's the first thing we should do when we get on our knees, is raise holy hands to God and say, Lord, we love you and we praise you for redeeming us and loving us and helping us and protecting us and showing us what we're doing wrong. Give him glory. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. So in closing, that's why God sent Malachi 4. This is why Malachi was sent. The spirit of Elijah was sent to do. Restore the believers' full commission. Once delivered unto the saints. Get back to the early church experience. I'm under expectation to see a fully restored bride in power. As we sing that song, every promise in the Bible is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm standing on his word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Is it yours? It's mine, brothers and sisters. We need to confess it. He called you for that purpose, to manifest this gospel. Not to talk about it. Not to preach about it. Those things are okay. But to do it. We cannot manifest anything of ourselves. Neither do we want to. And we can believe to see the full commission of the believer in manifestation. So we know what to do. We've got to do it. You say, I don't have faith. Just do what he says. I don't have faith. Just do what he says. I don't have faith. Do it! Start doing what he said. Let God take care of the rest of it. Just do it. Don't listen to that mumbo-jumbo garbage. Oh, I don't have enough faith. I'm not spiritual enough. Forget it. Just do what he said to do. And God will bless you. Who believes he will? Amen. He's right there to confirm his word. With signs following. I remember that sister telling us down in Wellington. She went out with some missionaries. In Africa somewhere. And they said, oh, sister, we're very short of people to pray for people. There's a big crowd here. We want you to pray for the sick. She said, me? Pray for the sick. They said, yes. She said, but I'm not experienced enough. Just do what he said. Lay hands on the sick. So the people came up. The lady came up there. She couldn't even hear. And the sister didn't even know what she was doing. She just felt led to put her fingers in her ears. Said, Lord, help this lady. And her ears came open. She didn't have time to think about faith. Should I do this? Am I called? You're all called to go out and lay hands upon the sick. That's the commission to the church. And that's what we need to do. Let's start doing it from today. Do you love the Lord? Shall we stand for prayer, brother and sister? Every head bowed, every heart bowed, come before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the simple instructions from thy word. Lord, we just want to have our believers' commission in action. Not saying, oh, Brother Brennan believes this, and Brother Howard believes that, and this brother believes this, and our church believes this. No, Lord, I believe this. This is what I want to do. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, you'll confirm your word with signs following, Lord. Just keep us in the right atmosphere. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord. Lord, I just pray you'll help everyone here to draw closer to you. Lord, we ask this blessing in Jesus' wonderful name. Move upon us, Lord. I ask there's any needs here and any out there, Lord, who'll be listening in, that you'll touch their lives today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking this because you said to do it. We're praying that you will do it, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
We're gathered in the upper chamber.
Anybody here that has a need, whatever it may be, and you want God to heal you or to bless you or to fill you with the Holy Ghost, we are believers in the commission. And I'm asking you, if you want to be prayed for, to come forward, believing that God said he'd do it. We're going to pray for you that God is going to heal you. And I challenge you to believe that. We're not just talkers, we are doers of his word. If you really want that, you come in the name of the Lord.
As Elijah, we would raise the altar for our testimony declaring Christ the Savior, loving healer, coming home. Let the fire fall, let the fire fall, let the fire fall.
receive the Holy Ghost. I pray you bless my brother in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. You've done it for us.
Praise
you. Thank you, Lord.
Ourselves to the Lord and close in prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning, Lord. And Lord, we are believers, Lord. We believe you, Lord. We believe your word, Lord. And I just pray that you would, Lord, as Brother Branham said, Lord, when it comes to the showdown, we get weak, Lord. But I just pray that you would lift us up, Lord. And yes, give us strength, Lord, in that time when it comes to that point, Lord. But Lord, how gracious you have been, Lord, in holding your word, Lord, with us when we hold your you to your word, Lord. You have answered many, many times before, Lord, and it's no different, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we believe it, Lord. And we'll just go ahead, Lord, and do as you have said, Lord, and not having taking any thought of ourselves, Lord, and any doubts that might come our way, Lord. We'll just do what you ask, Lord, and we'll just commit our fellowship, Lord, and our meal into your hands, Lord, and pray a blessing upon it and say thank you for all you have done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You are dismissed.